2 through 12. And the title of our message is Thankfulness for Faith and Patience. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in the saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is such wonderful scripture. I want you to know one of the things, as I used to, when I taught Bible study, I would read over that scripture over and over and over again as I the word I was going to teach. And the word, when I preach, I read over this and read over it. It may not have sounded it, but I read over that many times. And it just, it's such powerful scripture. In this scripture, praise is given for the faith of the church. And judgment is given to those who do not know God. And all is done for Christ's glory. Paul is addressing the church and all believers in verses 1 through 7. But it begins in verse 2. One of the most, I just love this verse. It says, grace to you and peace from God, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I love this verse? Because it's important for us to know that grace comes first. When we experience God's grace, we can know that we have been saved and have a peace with God. One of the things that Paul taught that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. God became Jesus Christ. He was manifested in the flesh. And Paul taught that. And that's one of the things that each and every one of us needs to know. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says this. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God's grace is his unmerited favor and love for us. We realize that we are lost sinners who have brought nothing to God. And we have received everything from him. Do you realize that? When you get your mind off yourself and realize who God is, we realize that we have brought nothing to him. And we receive everything from him. The Holy Spirit has worked in us, a lost sinner, destined for hell, but saved by faith in Jesus Christ and his precious cleansing blood. It's like we read in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. When it's speaking of Christ, it says, unto him that loved us and washed our sins clean by his blood and made us kings and priests unto God. It is the gift of God that we have eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and as the Son of God. Knowing that our sins have been forgiven gives us a peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, we go along everyday life. If we didn't know what we were forgiven, we could be carrying such guilt with us. But God doesn't want you or anyone to carry guilt with you, because our sins have been forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. Amen. Peace only comes through faith in Christ. He has paid the penalty for our sins and redeemed us by His blood. In verses 3 and 4 of this text, Paul is giving thanks to God for their faith, their love, and their patience. In verse 3 of our text, it says, we are bound. Isn't that something? Paul is saying, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. Paul was bound to thank God, and I want to let you know, I thank God for each one of your faiths. As I look upon this group here, I know each one of you is a Christian. I know of this group that you've been saved. Some of you I know much better than others because you come forward and say more about your faith. And I love that. I love it when I know where your faith is at. Because then I can be like Paul here and say, I am bound to thank God for your faith. Amen is right, Adam. There is nothing more precious than that. And then he goes on and says, it grows exceedingly. Paul is thanking them for their faith and their love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, a work of faith, a saving faith, produces love in the heart for God and for one another. They were growing spiritually, and their love for one another was growing as a result. You cannot grow in your love toward God without growing outwardly with your love toward each other. Is your faith growing? And is your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ growing? See that? That is so powerful. We can't grow in our love towards God unless we're growing our love towards each other. It should show itself. All too often, we can get in our own little worlds and not express Christ's love for each other as we should. As was said earlier this morning, we are one body in Christ. And we should be expressing that love toward each other and not stay in your own world. We're one body. In verse 4, Paul is saying, as a result of your faith and love, we speak of you among the churches of God. Isn't that precious? Paul was going to other churches, and he was saying, look at this church of Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. Isn't that powerful? So when I go somewhere else, I can speak of this church. That's what Paul was doing. Verse 4 continues and says what he was speaking about. It says, for their perseverance and faith through all their trials and persecutions that they were enduring. In other texts, another word for perseverance is patience. And if you look up in the Greek what patience means to stand under. They were standing under all the persecutions they were receiving. The persecutions they were receiving was so severe that they thought they were going through the tribulation. They were being persecuted. They endured a great deal of persecution. You look back during the time of Nero. People were being burned at the stake. They were being pulled apart. They were being thrown into animals. They were persecuted. God's word says that believers will have trouble in this life too. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 is a wonderful verse. It says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." Sometimes Christians might say, "I don't know why God is letting this happen to me or to someone else." Have you ever said something like that? Why is God letting that happen? But the Word of God says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Do not be surprised." We will all have trials and testing. It is God's way of disciplining us and making us worthy for His kingdom. God wants us to develop patience. He wants us to develop the patience to stand under persecution. We're going to find out more about that as we go through this. Not the patience of waiting for a red light to turn green, but the patience to live for God and accept whatever He sends our way. Did you catch that? The patience to live for God and to accept whatever He sends our way. And not to say, "God, why are you doing this?" It's a patience that has a goal of coming into God's presence. And every one of us should have a goal of looking for Jesus to come again. Because that's the next thing on God's great calendar, the rapture of the church. As it says in Titus 2:13, be looking for the appearing of our glorious God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We also should know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose in Romans 8:28. We should stand upon that verse. When something happens to us, a trial happens to us, we shouldn't say, "Why, God?" We should know that God, all things work together for good. All things. There is no accidents with God. God knows what we're going through, each and every one of us. He wants us to draw close to Him. Job would be an example of great patience. He loses his property and his children, but he stays strong in his faith towards God. Through all the testing Job went through, he did not leave God. And his property was restored. There's a wonderful verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this verse, 1 Peter 4:16. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." So what are we supposed to do? When troubles or afflictions come upon us, we're to glorify God. Job did it. And I thought of something as I was going through this. I thought, who was another wonderful, powerful example of this? Was Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul went through more afflictions, I believe, probably than anyone. Although Job went through a lot. Paul suffered a lot for Christ. And what did Paul do while he was suffering for Christ? He continued to glorify Christ. Yes, you just go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And you see that he says that Christ is sufficient. And actually, Christ says He's sufficient. But he continued to glorify Christ. He didn't blame God. He glorified Him. We should glorify God through our tribulations as Job and Paul did. Our hope and our future is with the Lord. Verse 5 of our text gives us a reason why our troubles, that we experience troubles. It says, "This is plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering." You know, we can't even fathom what God has got in store for us. It's more than our eye can see, our ears can hear, more than our hearts can understand. What God has in store for each and every one of His children. He's got a home in heaven for us where there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, no more tears. It's way beyond our imagination. There's not a lot said about heaven because we could not understand it. But when we get there, it'll be so great. It's beyond all we can comprehend today. Our suffering is to prepare us for the kingdom, for God's kingdom. The first 5 verses of this text dealt with thankfulness for the church. It's faith, it's love, and it's patience. Now it begins in verse 6 to talk about judging. And that verse 6 is a powerful one. "For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you." This verse answers so many scriptures today. So many scriptures in the Word of God about judging. First of all, we are not to judge. And it's so easy to do that, isn't it? So easy. We are not to judge, but God will. Romans chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil." When someone does something wrong to us, what are we to do? We're to respond with God's love. It's hard when we walk according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. And that's what we need to have our minds on, Christ, in all situations. When God judges, God is righteous in it. Whatever God does, He's absolutely right in doing. God is all-knowing. We are not to blame God for what takes place, but be thankful. The Lord Jesus is coming, and it will be a time of judgment on sinners who have rejected God and did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we read in today's text. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, it says this: "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When God judges the lost, it will be complete and final with everlasting destruction." We are not to judge. He will. The lost are those who do not believe in Jesus. They will have eternal and final separation from God, as it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. When Christ returns, it will be with flaming fire. He will no longer be on earth as the Lamb of God, but will come back with fire and vengeance on those who have denied Him. That is why one of the most important things we can do today is pray for those who do not know Jesus. Pray for them. Whenever your mind comes to them, their names of them come to you, pray for them. They need to know Jesus. The lost, those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. It says in 1 John chapter 2, or 2 John verse 7, that those who do not believe that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh are antichrist. It's so important to know Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as God. They do not believe that Jesus died for our sins and is risen today and is at the right hand of God. Those who do not believe in Christ will be punished with everlasting destruction in hell. Those who do not believe in Christ will be punished with everlasting destruction in hell. And that is why it's so crucial, it is so urgent, and so important that we pray for them so they can come to know Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no ifs, there's no buts. Either you believe or you do not believe. Either you're in heaven or you're in hell. Do you want to do the work of God? Do you want your family to do the work of God? Well, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 29, for doing the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Jesus said it so plainly. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. To believe in Jesus Christ is the work of God. That's what God wants more than anything there is. For us to believe in Jesus Christ. That he died for our sins. That he was buried. And that he rose on the third day for our justification. It is essential that you believe in Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and as the Son of God. He came to redeem us with his precious blood. He came to deliver us from hell. Thank God that the Holy Spirit has worked through the Word of God to bring you to Jesus Christ. And that you know him. And that he knows you. Jesus said this. This is one of the, I just love these verses. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. Here's what Jesus said. Good ones to write down, but you've probably heard these many times. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Stand upon those verses of God. You know, there's many people today that believe that you can lose your salvation. There's many people believe a lot of different things. I just want you to believe what the Word of God tells you. The Word of God says this. Not only the Word of God, this is what Jesus Christ says. I want you to know the powerful verse, Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that says this. Here's what the verse says. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. You know what that means? That means that when you come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, everybody who does receives a gift from God. He doesn't take that gift away. Not everybody uses their gifts that God has given them for the body of Christ to raise them up. The second thing is that when God calls you to be his child, he doesn't take that away either. You go to Romans chapter 8, verse 30, it says, whom God chooses, he calls. Whom he calls, he justifies. And whom he justifies, he glorifies. You hold on to that scripture. Praise God is right. And I'm doing is going over scripture. Scripture. We have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. I better hurry and finish. Final point of this message is that about Christ's glory, from verses 10 through 12. when he comes to be glorified in the saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who believed, for our testimony to you was believed. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling. God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The coming of Christ to earth in judgment will justify those who have believed and put their trust and faith in him, and it will glorify Christ. Verse 12 closes, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him. You know, when I think of this, what I think about is Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. When Jesus is praying to the Father in John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. Do you know what Jesus prays for? He prays that we would have his glory that the Father has given to Jesus. You read that verse, John 17, 22 and 23. That Jesus prays for that same glory to be given to us. And we have it. Many scriptures will back that up. Paul's prayer is for all who believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted his grace and are counted worthy of God's calling. Let's pray. Father in heaven, almighty God, we just praise you and thank you for this great day you've given to us. We thank you, God, that this is a day that we can rejoice and be glad in. We thank you, God, that you've brought this body of Christ together to lift each other up, to share thankfulness that you've given us, that your thankfulness that you've given each one. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you, God, for your word today. And we thank you, God, that you can go with us. We just praise you and thank you, God, for this glorious day and for